historical structure that is based on the symbolic significance of the numbers. And if God is the author of the scriptures and the creator of the world, which he is, then the word of God and the works of God show harmony. Okay? Now, before we get into this, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace. And we're thanking you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his obedience and his strength and his courage and what he did for us. And Father, I just don't completely understand, but I do accept it because it's all about you and it's all from you and it was for all of us. And Lord, I just lift you up every day in my life and thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon both me and my wife, Linda. Thank you for everything that you have given us and for sustaining it. Thank you for watching over us each and every day, providing our safety and our good health. And thank you for the many, many blessings that we see and don't see throughout the course of the day. And Heavenly Father, I lift up to you this morning my brother Casey. And Lord, we pray for him and ask you to take care of him in his time of need, in his time of sorrow, in his time of want. And we're just praying that you would supply whatever is necessary for him to be able to take care of his family. And Lord, just bless him in a mighty way and help him to overcome this difficult time in his life. And Lord, I know that there are many others out there that have prayer requests. I just pray that you answer them according to your perfect will and that your Holy Spirit might right now edify us as he helps me to present these words. I ask all of these things according to your holy and perfect will through and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay. Now, what I'm going to present today is far from being exhaustive, because if I were to present everything on a piece of paper concerning the numerics of the scriptures, I wouldn't have enough paper here available. And you're going to see that as we go through this, especially when it comes to the number 7. But God does work with numbers. And that's why I wanted to present this to you today, to help you to understand a little bit better of what these numbers symbolize and why God used them. Okay? The number one is the symbol of unity. That word unity means being united or joined as a whole. In Psalms 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's what we do here today. I mean, if you ever thought about what it would be like for us to even come together as we do like this, and have the same mind and have the same heart and have the same desires, you would think this a little bit odd if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus Christ. But I give him thanks and praise every day for this church. I really do. I pray for this church. And I know God is going to use it in a mighty way someday. We just need to be patient and give him time. Okay? The number one marks the beginning. And we must begin with God. Nothing is right if it does not begin with God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God says, "Seek ye first." Man says, "Take care of number one." And that's the attitude towards men in the world today. Taking care of number one. And as long as they're being supplied, they're happy. But it's like Andy was just telling me a little while ago. Unfortunately, these people are going to get what they want. And they're going to get what they deserve. I say that because one day they're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. and they're going to know why they're being cast into the lake of fire. So there are many people out there today who are having their fun, but they got a dear and sincere price to pay someday. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says, there is one body, one spirit, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, a total of seven, with Jesus, the one Lord, in the center. And Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, referring to number one. The first question spoken by God in the Old Testament is in Genesis 3:9, where it says, where art thou? This first question is put forth by God to the sinner who is hiding from God's holy presence. The first question asked in the New Testament, or spoken in the New Testament, is in Matthew 2:2, where it says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? This first question in the New Testament is indicating, where is this Savior that I need? And I do pray that many more people, and I know the Lord continues to tarry, and I do pray for many more people, especially those who have been subject to God's word and yet have not made a decision. And for all those people that we have lifted up in prayer concerning their belief, their feelings about Jesus Christ, and I do pray that there are many more that will come to understand who he is and what he has done for them. I pray that many more will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because when we stand at that great white throne judgment, and we will stand at that great white throne judgment, we are going to stand as witnesses. And unfortunately, we're going to see many a people, especially our loved ones, cast into the lake of fire because they didn't believe. That's why I say to you, you being here and in the presence of Jesus Christ and know him as your Lord and Savior, don't ever give up praying for your loved ones. Don't ever forsake that. It may take years upon years for them to realize through the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus Christ really is. But I do believe that if you continue in prayer and to remain faithful, that many more will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So just continue to pray. Don't ever give up on that. Okay. Number two is the number of union, the action of being joined together. The union of marriage, Adam and Eve, and they shall be one flesh, according to Genesis 2:23. The union of Christ and the church in Ephesians 5:31 and 32. The union of death and life, as in the atonement of Christ, as illustrated by the two birds in Leviticus 14 verses 4 through 7, and two goats illustrated in Leviticus 16, 7 through 10. And in these two, one is sacrificed and the other one is released, indicating the death and life and atonement of Jesus Christ. The disciples were sent out two by two in Mark 6:7. There are two tables of testimony of which were written the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 3 through 17. Two witnesses were necessary for a fair trial, for one who was to be put to death, Deuteronomy 17:6 and 19:15. If a false witness were to come forward, then that person would receive the same judgment upon him as he had thought to have done unto his brother in Deuteronomy 19:16. And if that was carried out in the trial of Jesus Christ, then those people who came forth with a false report would have been put to death. But guess what? They weren't, because they were brought forth by the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees. Okay. Two witnesses will testify during the tribulation in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Okay, now we're going to go to the number 3. The number 3 is the number of divinity. It is called the divine number because it is mentioned so often in connection with holy things. It speaks of the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. And we all know Satan has his, what's the word I'm looking for? When he tries to do the same thing that counterfeits, which would be Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, okay, which are not divine. The Trinity of man, the body, the soul, and the spirit, three great feasts are identified in the Bible: Passover, Pentecost, and the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, of which had the court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, which is 3. The 3 wise men that seek Jesus, the 3 angels that came to Abraham, Jesus 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the 3 gifts of grace, which are faith, hope, and love, the 3 days that Jonah spent in the belly of a whale. Man's 3 great enemies is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The 3 temptations of Christ, the 3 denials of Peter, and the 3-fold questions asked by Jesus. Peter, do you love me or lovest thou me? In John 21:15. If you have any questions concerning any of this, don't hesitate to stop me. Or if you have a comment, or if you know of any more 1, 2s and 3s and 4s and what have you, you would like to add to these, just say. Okay, the number 4. The number 4 is the number of the world. There are 4 seasons: winter, spring, summer, fall, or normally called autumn. The 4 points of the compass are north, east, south, and west. There are 4 elements: earth, air, fire, and water. The river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden was divided into 4 parts in Genesis 2, 10 through 14. And Ezekiel had a vision of the cherubim. They were 4 in number, and each had 4 faces and 4 wings. The first face was that of a man, the second that of a lion, the third that of an ox, and the fourth that of an eagle. These 4 faces also represent the 4 Gospels. In Matthew, it would be the lion indicating the king. In Mark, it would be the ox or the calf indicating the servant. In Luke, it would be man representing the humanity of Jesus Christ. And John, it would be the eagle identifying the deity of Jesus Christ. The 4th book of the Bible is the number 4, or is Numbers. I'm sorry, the 4th book of the Bible is Numbers. The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which are 4, and the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelations 6, 2 through 8. That takes us to the number 5. The number 5 can represent 2 things. One is grace and the other one is death. Some identify 5 as the number of death. And the example, or a couple of examples, are the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the 5th book of the book of Acts is the 5th book. Am I saying that right? The 5th book in the New Testament? I think I'm saying that right. The book of Acts is the 5th book in the New Testament. In chapter 5, verse 5, Ananias lies to the Holy Spirit and falls down dead. And 5 verses later, Sapphira, his wife, also lies to Peter and falls down dead. Also in 1 Samuel 17, 40. Oh, I forgot one. I'm sorry. In Genesis 5, verse 5, Adam dies. Also in 1 Samuel 17, 40, David chose 5 smooth stones, but only used one to slay Goliath. The other 4 were for his... Help me out. Brothers and sons. Okay. Identified in 2 Samuel 21, 16 to 22. Satan speaks, I will be like the Most High in Isaiah 14, 12, 5 times. There are 5 offerings identified in the Old Testament. The first is the burnt offering, the second, the meal offering. The third is the peace offering, the fourth, sin offering, and the fifth is a trespass offering. All these were performed because of God's grace and mercies toward mankind. And in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the difference. That is a substantial difference of doing what they used to have to do in the Old Testament and what we had have to do in order to be saved today. I would not want to have lived in that Old Testament time. If you took the name of the Lord or you blasphemed the Lord, you were stoned to death. I would have been dead a long time ago. 6, or the number 6, is the number of man. In Genesis 1:26, God created man. In Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days of labor are appointed unto man. In Exodus, that doesn't stand true today, I think it's 7 now. In Exodus 31, verse 2, a Hebrew servant was to serve 6 years and then released. In Genesis 35:23, Leah bears 6 sons for Jacob. Cain's descendants are given only as far as the 6th generation. In Genesis 13:24 through 32, Abraham intercedes 6 times for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Revelation 13:18, we have the number of a man, which is 666. For 6 years, the land was to be sown, and it was to rest on the 7th in Exodus 23, which takes us to our number 7. And with the number 7, I probably could have filled this whole book. So I'm just going to give you what was given me. 7 is the number of perfection or completeness. Used more than any other number, in Genesis 2:2, God rested on the 7th day from his work. Enoch was the 7th from Adam in Jude 14. In Genesis chapter 7, God tells Noah to enter the ark, and in verse 7, Noah goes in. And there were 7 days of grace given by God after Noah entered the ark. Genesis 5:31, Noah's father, Lamech, I believe his name is, lived 777 years and died. There were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine in Egypt. At the taking of Jericho, 7 priests with 7 trumpets marched at the head of the people. 7 times around the city, and on the 7th day, the walls of Jericho fell. It's recorded in Joshua chapter 6. Solomon was 7 years in building the temple and kept the feast for 7 days, according to 1 Kings chapter 6. Job had 7 sons, in chapters 1, verse 2. When his friends came to visit him, they sat 7 days and 7 nights in silence, and afterward, they were required by God to offer a burnt offering of 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Naaman is told by Elisha to dip himself 7 times in the river Jordan to cleanse himself of leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. There were 7 feasts of Jehovah, some of which lasted 7 days. Jesus spake 7 times from the cross. Those 7 times were, "Woman, behold thy son, and behold thy mother." This is Jesus talking to John. The second one is, "I thirst." The third is, "It is finished." The fourth, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The fifth is, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise," speaking to the thief on the cross. "And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are the 7 statements made by Jesus Christ while on the cross. There were 7 feasts of Jehovah, some of which lasted 7 days. I'm sorry, I gave that to you already. We have in the genealogy of Luke chapter 3 a list of 77 names, the first beginning with Jesus and ending with God. Isaiah 11:2 identifies the 7 spirits. 1, the spirit of the Lord. 2, the spirit of wisdom. 3, the spirit of understanding. 4, the spirit of counsel. 5, the spirit of might. 6, the spirit of knowledge. And 7 is the fear, or the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And like I said, the list of 7 can go on. I haven't even touched on the book of Revelations, which identifies a number, numerous accounts of the number 7. Okay? The number 8. The new number 8 is the new order of things, or a new beginning. David was the 8th son of Jesse and introduced a new order in Israel. Jesus rose on the first day of a new week, or the 8th day. His resurrection introduced a new order of things. Noah and his family, a total of 8, went into the ark before the flood. In 1 Peter 3:20, that's identified. 8 came out and populated a new earth. The leper was cleansed on the 8th day from his leprosy, thus proclaiming a new man, in Leviticus 14. God commanded Abraham to circumcise every male child on the 8th day in Genesis 17. Circumcision symbolized that Abraham and his descendants were a new race, and who by circumcision were cut off from the old Adamic headship and entered into a new relationship with God. The number 9, the number of judgment and of fruit, also divine completeness. The fruit of the Spirit consists of 9 fruits. In Galatians 5, Christ died at the 9th hour, symbolizing divine completeness. In 2 Kings 17:1, Hosea, who was the last king before the kingdom fell to the Assyrians, reigned for 9 years. In the 9th hour of the day, the Roman centurion Cornelius was told to contact the Apostle Peter in Acts 10:3. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 1-10. 9 lepers did not return to thank Jesus for their cleansing. Twice in the book of Acts, the 9th hour is associated with prayer. There are 9 judgments of God recorded in Haggai chapter 1, verse 11. There are 9 people stoned in the Bible. The first one is the blasphemer. The second one is a Sabbath breaker. The third is Achan. The fourth is Abimelech. The fifth is Adoram. The sixth is Naboth. The seventh is Zechariah. The 8th is Stephen. And the 9th would be Paul. Jesus appeared 9 times to his disciples and apostles after his resurrection. The number 10 is symbolic of law, order, testing, and trial. The 10 plagues of Egypt described in the book of Exodus. The 10 commandments described in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 17. The 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. The 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel 2, 41 to 42. The 10 pieces of silver identified in Luke 15, 8 through 10. The 10 servants to whom were entrusted 10 pounds, and one servant rewarded authority over 10 cities because he gained 10 more pounds. The 10 horns of Daniel's fourth beast, which point to the 10 kings or kingdoms typified by 10 horns of John's beast in Revelation 17. Number 11, symbol of incompleteness and disorder. Jehoiakim reigned 11 years in Jerusalem and died and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Zedekiah did the same. He reigned 9 years in Jerusalem and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. In Matthew 28, 16, only 11 disciples remain when Jesus appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief. And the number 12, I'm just going to give you as a symbol of divine and apostolic judgment and faith. And like I said, there's a whole bunch more that can be identified with these numbers, but I've given you, like I said, what was given me. And that's it. Any questions? Good, let's have some coffee and donuts.
Maybe this came up when we were on vacation or Thursday, but what are we praying for with pieces?
He's going through some difficult, very difficult times right now. Andy? It's a good thing John doesn't take too many vacations. We would probably diminish.